For the reading of the Holy Gospel this morning, continuing in Matthew's Gospel, reading from the 10th chapter, verses 24 to 39. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them. For nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear that one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, from God. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before God in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before God in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Oops, I forgot that, sorry. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So we've made this progression a little bit through Matthew's Gospel, getting a feel what the ministry of the church is all about after celebrating Pentecost several Sundays ago, and rejoicing in the gift of the church that Jesus gives to us to be a part of, to be that beloved community or signs of it here on earth, even as it is in heaven. But these are some of the most troubling words perhaps you're going to find in the New Testament. What is this? I come not to bring peace, but a sword? But didn't we hear from Hebrew scripture on down through the years and still turn swords into plowshares? And indeed, we've had several churches in the Madison area invite to their property, to their services, that pastor who literally takes guns and turns them into garden tools. And that happens a lot. This is not political rebellion per se, and it's not just a way of kind of avoiding or saying stuff inside us is going to keep going. It's pointing us really, really deep. What it is trying to tell us is the things you are doing in ministry, they could rub somebody the wrong way. What do you mean you're bringing to Waunakee, which is predominantly an Anglo town, a Hispanic fellowship? What's that all about? We know from reading the paper, probably walking through stores, listening on the streets, all kinds of ways, that some communities are not as welcoming or as inclusive as God intends for them and us to be. So the mere fact that you're having bonfires on Monday night is a little disturbing for some of those people out there, whether you know them or not. You're gathering supplies for porch light. People are in need of some real basic stuff. And Crossroads, in the excitement and joy and work of the Spirit through your ministry, has said, yes, we can do that. Well, you mean the homeless are still with us? Can't we just sweep them away somewhere and get rid of them? And folks, I'm preaching to the choir here a little bit, so give me a little room. But they're God's people too. And this passage is trying to say, as we do our best to understand what it means to be a brother or sister of Jesus, to live in the way that Jesus modeled as best we can, whether it's to share prayer concerns in a genuine way here in church, whether it's to really mean it when you shake hands at the door, and I have felt that. Thank you very much, that this is a welcoming community. Are we doing what God would have us to do to share the love and kindness of Jesus at this time? This passage lifts up the fact that we're looking for peace, but in the process thereof, we're going to create an awful lot of problems. Does that make sense? I know in many families, in our own family, when our daughter came out over 20 years ago now, it was a shock for some, and I think there are still others who will go nameless because I haven't heard it, who are still not sure what it means to have a gay relative within our family. Once again, read the news. This morning in the Times, or was it last night in the evening news, a story of three families who need to pack up in the states they've been living and move to safer states, so that their children will be able to live a free and healthy life. God is a much more complex creator than we might have realized. God created people, but no one of us is necessarily settled when we're born. Indeed, we're finding even at birth sometimes there are serious challenges from the time the baby is born on through till they'll reach a safe age where the child can come home from the hospital. And what we've learned down through the centuries is that it's not an either-or kind of world that God made. God made a world of grayness, of depth, of rainbow, if you will, metaphorically and actually. I mean, down through the years, the church has struggled with racism around enslavement in the name of portions of Hebrew and Christian scripture. This passage is almost so timely, I'm afraid I would be giving a political speech this morning rather than preaching this particular part of Matthew's gospel. But Matthew forewarns us earlier in the gospel. This is the gospel with the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are all of those people who, according to earthly, worldly, or power, or people in the know, or have what they are satisfied with standards, there are so many people who are searching, who are looking, who are needing. And so in John's gospel, which we referred to a lot in the scriptures when I first arrived, about abundant life, It's not simply that I have a tent over my head or a place on the street where I can get to for most seasons of the year and be kind of, a little bit separated from the elements. It is, you are as much a person as a person in the big house or the person in the modest cottage or wherever. Is abundant life nothing if it's not adequate health and food and safety and relationship and affirmation of who you are as well as you affirming who the other is? We struggle now with life. And what does abundant life mean? Simply that the very serious challenge and issue of abortion, on which the United Methodist Social Principles essentially stand against abortion, but also say, each situation of each family and mother is in God's hands and their hands as they decide, because is abundant life simply choosing a newborn child over a mother who might be dying? Is abundant life simply saying we'll give birth to a child who may have some kinds of developmental challenges and no resources to support that family, and but drives them further into poverty? This passage is asking two things of us as Christians, and they're serious, and it's not like I want to go out with a thud, but it's kind of like the church at Pentecost is this very radical and in some ways to the powers that be, dangerous organization of people. Because for everything we say that is done or that seems to be going okay, it's not like we're looking for something to poke our fingers at, but there are still some parts of the world, some lives, some places in this country, in this community, even in this congregation, that need an actual expression of God's love, whether it's cleaning supplies or a safe place to be in relationship around a bonfire with people of color, or people of color looking, yeah, I can be with those Anglo folks and they welcome me. It goes both ways. So Jesus is saying the time for volunteers is now. And just by being a baptized Christian, as I said last week, I sneakily have baptized any congregation I've been into pastoral care. We're all together in that cadre of volunteers for which God asks nothing more and nothing less than we live the fullness of the Christian life in all relationships, even when somebody says, this is a Christian nation and we'll fight with guns to hold it. Folks, I don't think so. That's not what this kind of peace is raising troubles and hackles to say, we'll get the guns out and shoot the bad guys. Well, in our arrogance to say that, or their arrogance, maybe we're the bad guys, if you will, because we ultimately don't know. And to talk about families that are so disrupted, how many of us in the last 6, 8, 9, maybe a little longer, 10 years have discovered it may really be true in some households, you just can't discuss religion or politics. When our faith, whatever we believe, is of course so central to who we are and how we put one step in front of the other. And politics is nothing more or nothing less than the people of the earth, the people of God, which is really all polis is. We use political in a lot of different ways and it has a variety of meanings. But if we're going to be about the work that Jesus asked us to do for the kind of life that Jesus prays for us, an abundant life, that abundance is not something we sit on and hold once we get it. I've discovered, sadly, in my family, that I'm not the only one that loves apple pie. I somehow bequeathed that through a problem at birth to my son, and my grandson walks in, where's the apple, Granddad? Theo, it's mine. No, it isn't, if you catch my drift. Yeah, just when we think we might sit a minute, which God prays for, that we have moments of peace, to settle in with ourselves and who we are in God's presence. And then as we take our next foot step forward, the peace that we might discover for ourselves, can we share that peace with the next person? There are so many stories we could think of that is about taking up the cross, if you will. There was a pastor and farmer back in the 40s named Clarence Jordan. He wrote the Cotton Patch Scriptures. Some of you may have come across that in time. Granted, once again, I'm dating myself, but that's what you get. And he was the founder of Koinonia Farm in Georgia, which was a place that gave a lot of African Americans a place to be better than sharecroppers, but a place to share in the ownership and raising of peanuts and stuff. And it's actually the precursor to Habitat for Humanity. And I think we all know the name of another very famous Georgian who's given his life as well as her life, the Carters, Jimmy and Rosalind. post-presidency, even up until the last couple of years, out on job sites working tirelessly, if you will, for Habitat for Humanity. Well, one of the products of the Koinonia Farm back in the 40s was to sell peanuts. And they thought they'd just do it from a roadside stand. Well, they tried twice, and each time the KKK came along and ripped it down and threatened all those who were participating in it. So finally, Jordan and the farmers resorted to mail order ads, and they advertised it by saying, "Help us ship the nuts out of Georgia." There is humor in God's ministry, of a sort. Fannie Lou Hamer from Mississippi, known for working for jobs. When she went to jail, she was seriously beaten so bad that she couldn't sit down. And yet she created a choir of inmates. If not violence, there will be scorn. So no, it's not my intent to scare you away from Crossroads Church. Simply to say, though, that when we celebrate the Pentecost church, as we did here and have been looking at Matthew in ways that the church is challenged, invited, and hoped for to be in ministry, the more you read the Gospels, the more you realize this is a life-consuming, lifelong way of living and being. Paul has these wonderful words from Philippians. I'd like to close this, my last sermon, with you with, for I think it speaks to the message that I just gave you. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me," referring to Paul, not myself, "put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Thanks be to God. Amen."